Welcome to the Women and Wealth podcast with Esther Szabo. Esther is a respected leader in the field of personal financial advice with over 25 years of experience. After going through her own significant and challenging life-changing events, she overcame fear and self-doubt to launch her own successful advisory firm. Now Esther is ready to share her practical and personal experiences to help other women clear their hurdles and brave life's transitions. In this way, she inspires women to lead fulfilling and confident lives.
Hello and welcome to Women and Wealth with Esther Szabo from Gates Pass Advisors. Good morning, Esther. How are you?
I'm doing all right, Eric. Thank you so much. How's it going over in your side of the world today?
Oh, it's fantastic. You know, we're still in this working from home thing. Most of us, or a lot of us, my wife is still working from home, and it's been fantastic. There's been only one incident, and that was I was on a meeting, you know, a video conference. Luckily, it was somebody within my company who, you know, we were just actually at that point probably shooting the breeze. And I got a knock on my office door. It was my wife, and I said, "I'm in a meeting." Kind of yelled up to the door, and she said, "I need you to come outside. I ran over a nest of bunnies with a lawnmower."
Oh my gosh!
So,
that's
she
awful.
Loves bunnies, and so I said, "Okay,"
and
I had to go upstairs and check them out because she just couldn't look, and they're all fine. So they dig
goodness.
Down so far that they were okay, and so now. I mean, it kind of turns into the two signs of spring in our area, which is we've got baby bunnies. And I set up a couple cameras, they're motion activated cameras around them to make sure the mommy would come back. And she did. And she fed them. And she's been there every night. And so we're watching this little nest develop. And they now have fur, which is fantastic because they were just ugly as sin before. Just really weird. Anyway, but they're cute now and fuzzy and we don't touch them and they don't have their eyes open yet. But we're looking forward to that. And then the other sure sign of spring is that I have a crazy neighbor that comes outside and yells at all the kids that our cul-de-sac is not a playground. So now that they're out, it's almost like the groundhog, right? Yeah, exactly. So when the neighbor comes out and starts yelling at everybody that, you know, this is not a playground, you be quiet, don't ride that bicycle. And okay, well, everybody, it's springtime. So how are you?
Well, good. I guess I need to, I have a confession.
Uh-oh.
We, you know, so many of us, we've been sheltering in place for a long time, and I live in Northern California, mm-hmm. where we've been in shelter in place since March 17th, and as this is being recorded, it's May 13th, so it's been a couple of months, and mm-hmm. actually, I'm not one of those that have felt really cooped up. I know many people are very tired of sheltering in place, but mm-hmm. we went down the coast. We went out to Big Sur, which is about an hour and a half from where I live. And we found a place to, there was a trail. Most of the road, Route 1, cones, no entry. We had parked one place and we walked up to a trailhead and a ranger met us and said, nope, closed. Sorry, you got to get back in your car. And we pulled over at a number of different pullovers to try and find trails. And there was, you know, not all of them had cones, but we couldn't find trails. And then we found one that had no cones and no markings about anything being closed. So we ducked into that trail and we sat on the edge of a creek for an hour and a half and read books. And it was just glorious. And then we were like, okay, it's time to go. And then it was like, excuse me. And there was the ranger.
Uh-oh.
And we got cited for
ranger
entering
danger.
A closed
ranger danger.
Park. Yes, ranger danger. And he said, this will all go well if you just cooperate. And I haven't been in that kind of a situation for a long, long, long time.
So tell me about the last one.
No,
I'm just kidding.
No, we're not going to go there. It was all just suffice to know it was a long, long time ago. And we got cited for entering a closed park. But the thing was, and it could be as much as $1,000 ticket here. It was an infraction instead of a misdemeanor, and it's a $275 fine. And so the court date isn't until October. My husband is going to go contest. Mm-hmm. And the thing, though, that got me is he wasn't wearing gloves. So he asks for our driver's license, hand him over, give it back, no gloves. Gives us the pen to sign the ticket, no gloves. And I thought, well, that's a little ironic because, we knew. We're okay. We're not going to fight anything. But it was like, well, aren't we all just trying to protect from this virus? And probably the closest contact we got into all day was the ranger giving us the ticket. So.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a little weird, but,
yeah.
Well, I'm glad
so
you guys are safe.
Confession.
And yeah, I mean, at this point, I think a lot of people would pay $550 to sit by a creek for a couple hours. So maybe.
Yeah. And
it
was only one
investment.
Ticket.
Oh,
yeah, it was $275.
I thought he ticketed each of you. Oh, good.
Well, no, just
see?
One.
What a bargain.
Just one.
Just, yeah. Yeah. I mean, doggone it.
Behavioral finance. See, we anchored at the $550, but then when we found out it was just $275, it felt like a gift. See,
oh,
that's
my
how
goodness.
That works.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we're not going to talk about your illegal activities all podcast. We have other things that we need to talk about, Esther. What are we talking about today?
I know, we don't have time.
That's right. We don't. Yeah, the list goes on and on.
This is only it's only 20, 25 minutes. So what I'm talking about today is the critical skills needed for stressful situations. And these will serve in our personal lives as well as our personal planning lives as well.
All right.
So
all right.
Besides, as this is being recorded, besides, I know so many people are getting tired of the sheltering in place and feeling frustrated. And the country as a whole, individual states, communities, are all struggling to determine how do we open up again. And here locally, Elon Musk, the CEO of Tesla, just went marched right in and opened up his Tesla factory against the sheltering in place order and has sued for his right to do so. So it's not just those of us who just want a bit of nature. It's CEOs as well who are being a bit defiant. Although I will say I'm basically in favor of the shelter in place until we get much more clarity about this illness. It's so nasty. But unemployment has risen to just under 15%. It's predicted to climb higher. And many companies, this is earnings season right now where companies report earnings. And so they'll report for prior quarter and then are usually give guidance on successive quarter or quarters. And a number of companies have suspended providing this earnings guidance because they just say it's just too hard to predict. We don't know. All of this is creating a high degree of uncertainty. And none of us like that word, right? When you hear the word uncertainty, Eric, how does that hit you?
Yeah, not so much. It, you know, a little tightening of the chest. And in our situation, just to compare it real quick, compare contrast, you're on the West Coast. I am in the middle of the country in Nebraska. And so we hear news from East Coast. We hear news from West Coast. And everything was slower to come here. So our numbers are still on the rise. However, people are hearing, okay, they flattened the curve, you know, so far. Well, no, maybe in certain states on the East or West Coast, they've started to flatten the curve really. But we're still rising because it's still early, and now people think they can go back out again. So it is really difficult because, again, it's everything's uncertain. We don't know where the news is coming from and who's reliable. So that really does play into people's mental states and not trying to create panic by any means, but that's kind of what it does. It makes you think, okay, can I do this or not?
Yeah. What is the right thing to do? Yeah. And that's really interesting that you bring that up because it's true as a country, we're trying to deal with this, but then as states, it's different. And then as regions, I mean, we're the state of California. California is a huge state. And if you go to certain counties, they're very lowly populated. And then you have counties like the Bay Area counties that have a huge amount of congestion and population. So it differs from community to community. And yeah, I appreciate what you're saying about that tightening of the chest. That is like there's a feeling of like, oh, I don't like this. And it can equal, you know, this feeling of risk. It doesn't feel like positive risk. You know, it feels like risk of loss, basically.
Yes.
Whether it's a feeling of loss of our rights, loss of our flexibility, freedom, whatever it is. And these feelings can really hijack our decision making. Many knee-jerk reactions can be common during uncertainty. Perhaps our thought on Saturday of going out to the coast, that may have been a knee-jerk reaction. Like, you know what? We finally have a day. Both of us do a fair amount of volunteer work as well as our regular work, as well as, you know, family commitments and all of that. And we just had a day where there weren't any. It was like, oh my goodness, this quote-unquote freedom. I mean, we love our families and our commitments, but just being able to get out. But it obviously wasn't the wisest decision. And when it comes to personal finance, we really want to be careful about these knee-jerk reactions. They're just not wise given investment dollars, especially as they are there for long-term security. And we've discussed these things recently in podcasts 41, 42, and 43. Mm-hmm. So I encourage you to go back and listen to those if you're struggling with a decision or experiencing this anxiety, as it's so common right now. But for investing, I've always preached, do not have money invested in the markets that you think you may need within 5 years, and preferably not within 10. And I can appreciate people have lost their jobs. They thought they wouldn't need the money in 5 years, and then this unexpected comes up, and maybe they do. So the purpose of today's podcast is to really provide encouragement of all that we are learning or maybe relearning during this challenging time, and what traits are needed to be financially successful.
Yeah.
And the first one of our three today is a word I love, and it is a trait that's really critical, and it's resiliency.
Okay.
And when you think uncertainty, you had a response. What's the response when you think of resiliency, Eric?
Strength.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's the and first word that pops into my head. It's strength.
Yeah. Whereas uncertainty, it feels like it feels this vulnerability to weakness.
Absolutely. And maybe it's because I'm a guy and that I don't want to be stereotypical, but when you're resilient, I mean, your dad always tells you, hey, suck it up, buttercup. You know, it's tough, stiff upper lip and all those other phrases that, you know, the generation before us used. But being resilient is being tough, being strong. And when you're not that, then you're weak, right? And so that's hard.
Yeah. And I would say, you know, when I'm thinking resiliency, it is being tough. It's knowing how to cope in times of stress. And that includes emotional strength and the willingness to overcome obstacles. And I will add with that, for me, and maybe it's because I'm being stereotypical as a woman, it is not just sucking it up, though I appreciate it. I absolutely know what you mean with that. It's kind of like having this jaw that's clenched. And I know that feeling. I lived many of my years of life with this jaw clenched, like I can handle this. It's really a lot about flexibility and a couple other things that we'll talk about a little bit later. Because this will not be the first or second difficult market that we'll be required to navigate over a investment lifetime. And this message is especially for those who've primarily been investing since 2009, since the recovery started from the financial crisis. Now, it probably didn't feel like it in 2009, so I'll peg it. Let's say you've been investing since 2011. This is really the first real test of what it is like when there is this uncertainty, this feeling of vulnerability, this anxiety. And we've heard this from the generation before us. Nothing worth having comes easily.
Mm-hmm.
It may have felt easy to make money in the market if one has invested primarily since the financial crisis, where there haven't been one of these large financial shocks. But to take on the risk of the stock market, investing is not easy. Otherwise, one wouldn't get the reward of the higher return for being invested in the stock market. One would just put everything into U.S. Treasuries, for example. There's no principal risk there. And I'm making a special point of no principal risk, no risk to your principal. You buy a treasury, it'll mature, you'll get your face value back. But there is not enough return there to provide for long-term goals of whether it's college savings, retirement. Those are the two big ones.
Mm-hmm.
If one bought 10-year treasuries right now, your yield is around 0.6 to 0.7%.
Mm.
So even if you put in $1 million, who has $1 million? But even if, just for example's sake, if you put in $1 million, you're going to get $6,000 to $7,000 a year of income.
Mm.
And that's just not enough for most people to manage.
No.
So it's and we all grew up with, as you get older and into retirement, you will use just primarily treasuries or high quality bonds. And it's especially hard right now for those who are needing to live on their portfolio for their expenses supplemental to Social Security. It feels very challenging in terms of, gosh, will there be enough here?
Mm-hmm.
Those are very challenged, populations challenged, as well as those who are facing unemployment. Now, the interesting thing about the unemployment is when they've asked people, unlike all those who lost their jobs in the financial crisis, and currently our unemployment level is higher than that, but many feel like this is that many of those unemployed and who are applying for unemployment say this is just temporary. They have a lot more confidence that once we're through this, that they will have their jobs back. And this is, again, that challenging period because we don't know exactly when we'll be through this.
Mm-hmm.
And resiliency to navigate through these times is really critical because otherwise one will abandon their plan, typically at just the wrong time. They'll, let's say, if we just say an investment plan, I mean, it's pretty amazing. As I mentioned in the previous podcast, the market has recovered quite well. We're actually just, the S&P 500 is about where it was in early 2018. So, okay, so we're going back a couple years there,
mm-hmm.
but it can feel like, oh my God, we've lost years and years and years of return, where it's like, okay, it's back to a couple years. There's been quite a recovery in the market from being down 35% at its low from February 11th to down about 10 to 15% now. So again, still down, but that is a 20% recovery. But there is, if somebody abandoned at the bottom, one didn't get to participate in that recovery.
Exactly.
So how do we use our resiliency where it comes to financial planning, personal planning, investment portfolio? I mean, part of it is to just know that I can weather the storm. But in order to know that, one really needs our second critical trait. And that's what we talked about as determination or even openness. And in this case, it's determination to access resources. One cannot, and we do not preach this, one cannot have just resiliency in isolation and say, I'm resilient, I will deal with this. It's like, well, we're all in this together, whether it's the coronavirus situation. I mean, this is the situation. In order to open the economy, we have to get back out there. This is requiring of all of us to act together and also to stay healthy. We all need to act together.
Mm-hmm.
So we need the ability and the determination to access resources in order to be successful. So what are the resources that one might turn to in terms of for personal financial success? Episode 43 of the podcast addresses this as well, but it really bears repeating because we are such creatures of habit.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, now we know that during this time of sheltering in place, we still should be exercising. We still should be eating right.
Oh boy.
That, exactly. I mean, we know this, right?
I didn't know it was going to be this kind of podcast, Esther. Okay, yes. So I made 3 dozen cookies yesterday, but I will climb the stairs to go get some later. Okay? Is that enough? Oh, boy. All right. Exercise.
One flight of stairs does not equal 3 dozen cookies. It's such a terrible ratio. I know.
I'm not good at math.
We know habits that are good, but we tend to think with investing that if we've been investing under a particular set of circumstances, and if those have changed, such as this coronavirus,
mm-hmm.
or maybe it's a personal transition, i.e. moving into retirement, or a child is heading towards college, we tend to not reevaluate our investing plan in light of these new circumstances. It is, if I go back to the financial crisis of 2008-09, that perceived risk, this uncertainty, yes, it was very scary back then. And those who just said, okay, I'm moving to cash because that's what I see. You know, that's what I see. I see that we just recently had this really terrible market. I don't see how our country will get out of it. I don't see that we have the political leadership, perhaps, or the philosophical leadership to do the right thing here. So I'm just going to move to cash because that feels safe. Well, that set up a particular portfolio, and that was that particular set of circumstances. And those that did that have missed out on the basically 400% return that the market attained through February of 2020. Now, those that did that are sitting there saying, see, I told you. I knew it would get bad. But if you look at it, that's true. So there will always be a time to be, quote unquote, out of the market, let's say. But how long does that last? And that's where people get into trouble. They invest based on a particular set of circumstances, and out of that habit, don't have the flexibility or even resiliency to make adjustments, which is not about selling when the market is scary and buying only after it comes back in. That's not the flexibility I'm talking about. If you think of great leaders that you admire, whether these are athletes or those in business or finance, maybe inspirational speakers, spiritual leaders, they all reference resources that helped them get to their level of achievement. They didn't keep changing their approach, but they made adjustments along the way. And they often tell stories about how they thought, okay, I'm going to approach this a certain way. Mm-hmm. I'm going to approach business by saying that I'm smart, I went to this great school, and I will do it this way. And then they get into the business and they realize that there's people, there's supply chains, there's laws, and they have to rely on other resources.
Absolutely.
To really do the best by their customers or clients, their staff, to be legal. But they've always reached out to that because they have a habit of curiosity, of learning, to access resources to help guide them to their best approach. Mm-hmm. And this may involve taking the risk to see things differently, but when they tried it, it worked. A client recently shared with me, I was talking with her about, I really want to retest your planning because your life has changed and obviously the world environment has changed. Mm-hmm. And she was resistant to my doing that. And I was puzzled because I'm like, well, this is what I do. Hired me to do this. But it's so important to me to listen to what my clients are saying. So we scheduled actually a separate, just a quick call. I don't like having conversations over email that have a more emotional focus to them. Mm-hmm. And I could feel her fear and anxiety. And I'm not here to talk anybody out of their feelings. I mean, it's like, let me hear you out. What's going on?
Yep.
And I was so appreciative that she reached that she connected with me as her resource. And she told me, well, it's like, yeah, you could paint all these horrible pictures for me. But what can I do about them? I'm honestly not going to change my life right now. If worse comes to worse, and she laid out, this is how her mind works, kind of the worst case scenario. I will move in with my family. Now she has her own family, but she was like, we'll all live together in like a commune and that's what we'll do. And I went, okay, well, that is an option. Mm-hmm. And I really related to her anxiety. I mean, this is an anxious time. And I can empathize with it. I asked her, could I just share with you what it's like from my perspective in terms of what we're trying to do? And she said, absolutely. And I said, well, what we're trying to do is just test and make sure. This is a testing mm-hmm. of us making sure our approach is in line with what's happening in your life and what could happen in your life. And honestly, I said to her, I don't even know if you're not comfortable to see the results, I may not share them with you right away. And she's like, okay, good. Now, other practitioners could say, well, you have to show them to your client if they're about to head off a cliff. If they're about to head off a cliff, I would absolutely say, we need to talk about this. Mm-hmm. But these are situations that may come to pass. And our job for our clients is to consider how we can best keep them safe. And perhaps for today, keeping her safe is not talking with her about worst case scenarios, but it's for us to look at worst case scenario. And when she got that, she goes, oh, I didn't even think that that's what you were trying to do.
Yeah.
And so this is where just accessing resources, considering the resources that you have, rather than staying in the anxiety and saying, well, I'm just going to hunker down mm-hmm. is really helpful to considering other options or helping people help you. So those resources could be obviously your financial planner and advisor. They could be, if you're not working with someone, maybe your economists, the news, health news. But besides that, I think it's so important to access other people. You know,
yes.
Who is on your personal financial team? What are the qualities of the people who make up your personal financial team? Are they independent, empathetic? Are they skilled, experienced? Do they partner with you? Are they knowledgeable? And are they interested in you more than their story of their expertise and mm-hmm. fabulousness?
Yeah.
Do they listen to you? We've talked about resiliency and how information and people can really help support resiliency through that access to resources and broadening understanding. And the last skill for today is really an adjunct of that. It's part of accessing resources. And that's about, is your portfolio properly allocated and how is it managed? Now, I grew up in this industry helping people do their own portfolio management. And yet, can you do it for yourself? I think it's fine to consider doing that when you're just growing wealth. But honestly, I don't have the time myself for all the stock picking, economic research, proper mm-hmm. risk adjusted allocation. If I did that full time, I would not be on the podcast right now. I'd better be in the front of the computer rechecking and checking and researching. I utilize a third party approach, and they work with us to ensure that our portfolios are appropriate for our clients and that the right managers are there selecting the appropriate stocks and bonds in this environment.
Mm-hmm.
So why do we address this? Why does active management matter? For many years, passive investing has led the headlines, and I'm not opposed to passive, especially again for those building wealth. And if we think coming out of the last financial crisis in 2009, I mean, the Dow was at like 6,000. And so we had a phrase that basically a mentor in this business when I first started in it in the early 90s would say is, and I think he got it from someone else, is when the wind blows, even turkeys will fly. Which, when you relate this to stock investing, it's like, sure, when we're starting from such a low point,
mm-hmm.
heck, you can buy just about anything and it will appreciate. Well, even before the coronavirus, we were already talking to our clients about, we're at a higher point in the market. We're not at a bubble per se, but there's not a lot of a catalyst there to spur us forward. Mm-hmm. So we are not about relying on broad bond indexes, broad stock indexes, because you're basically investing without much selection there. And during these times, sectors really matter. I mean, if you had money to put to invest today, do you want to be invested in the travel and leisure sectors? Is that where you want to yeah. put your retirement money today? Do you want
Probably
to be...
Not.
Probably not. You know, you're not. And I mean, I just feel so, my heart goes out to all that's their career mm-hmm. and their income is from that. But you might want to be weighted in other sectors like consumer goods, you know, producers of toothpaste and toilet paper,
mm-hmm.
medicine, all the communications, the utilities that we're all using through this. So sector selection matters right now. Allocation matters, U.S. versus foreign. Bond selection is really important as we consider basically in the municipal bond area, what you know the money that's going out, what municipalities would do well, what not, what will be the exit and entry points for once it, you know, again, this is why going all to cash is dangerous, because you have to make the decision, when do I go back in? And that's on top of a decision about where do I want to go back into?
Mm-hmm.
So it's really worth the additional underlying expense to have that additional expertise. It's not just for performance, but to have the resilience, to have those resources during really, really challenging times like what we're involved in right now, so that one can really stick to their plan for that longer term period. Our managers, to varying degrees are going more to cash right now, but it's more to cash. It's not 100% because they have sold out of their areas like leisure, et cetera, and holding that cash because we do think there'll be another step down in the market before we have full recovery.
Yeah.
So in closing, I want to quote Susan Bradley. She's the founder of the Financial Transitions Institute, which is so important to the work that we do here with clients. And she has said, to get from what was to what will be almost always takes longer than anyone would have thought or what anyone wants. Mm. And that's where we are right now. It's taking longer. So I would just say to the listeners, please stay strong, cultivate your resilience, stay open, be determined to search out the resources that can really help support you. And be open to considering other approaches, including asset allocation and active management.
Absolutely. Esther, I couldn't have said it better myself, and because you said it. You're the expert. That's why I join you on these podcasts, because I learned so much. I know we've done calls to action before, and people probably already have your phone number, already have your website address, have your email. But one more time, for those that are joining us for the very first time, and want to seek out somebody to be on their team, want to be open to that professional that can help guide them and open to accessing a resource maybe they've never met before, which would be you. How do they get a hold of you?
Well, they can do this a number of ways. And if they're not quite ready to talk to me yet, they can do so primarily through our info screen on our Gates Pass Advisors website, our info tab, I should say. And there they can access our podcasts, and they can access current market information as well as our videos about behavioral finance. So there's a ton of information there, even without reaching out for info.
Fantastic.
If you want to be connected and for our newsletter that comes out every 2 weeks with brief information about all of this, and to be alerted to our webinars, which we're doing more of in this time, let us know and we'll put you on the newsletter. And if you'd like to talk, indicate that also, and we're happy to set up a time. And it's gatespassadvisors.com.
Perfect. Thank you so much for your time today, Esther.
Eric, it's always a pleasure. And frankly, I think you probably could have said it better, but I appreciate the compliment.
Well, that's very nice of you to say. But we both know better. Anyway, listeners, she's very humble, and I love working with her. And I want to thank you for tuning in to the Women in Wealth podcast with Esther Szabo. And be sure to subscribe by clicking that subscribe now button below. This way, when Esther comes out with a new podcast, it'll show up directly on your listening device. This makes it much easier to share these podcasts with your friends and family. Again, thank you so much for listening today. For everyone at Gates Pass Advisors, this is Eric Johnson reminding you to live your best day every day. And for everybody's safety, please don't go on the trails and get a ticket. All right. And of course, we'll see you next time.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, y'all. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to the Women and Wealth podcast. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast so you receive notifications of new podcasts as they become available. Check out the website at www.gatespassadvisors.com for more information. This content is developed from sources believed to be providing accurate information. The information in this material is not intended as tax or legal advice. Please consult legal or tax professionals for specific information regarding your individual situation. The opinions expressed and material provided are for general information and should not be considered a solicitation for the purchase or sale of any security.